This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our series on Tafsir al-Qur'an, the study of the Book of Allah. Inshallah, today we're starting with ayah number 174. So as always, we'll begin with the recitation of the verse. We'll go over the translation of the ayah, and then we will delve further into the meaning of the ayah, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزل الله من الكتاب ويشترون به ثمنا قليلا أولئك ما يأكلون في بطونهم إلا النار ولا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. The translation of the ayah is that indeed those who conceal what Allah has revealed from the scripture and they sell it for some small price, those are the people that what they are consuming and putting in their bellies is nothing but the fire of hell. And Allah will not speak to them on the Day of Judgment, nor will He purify them and reserve for them is the most painful punishment. In the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing what is impermissible in terms of consumption. The theme of consumption was talked about quite a bit, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, eat from the good things that Allah has provided to you. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that indeed, consuming things like carrion, roadkill, blood, pork, all of that is impermissible, that which has been sacrificed for, in the name of other than Allah. So there was this theme about what is not okay to consume. What today is talking about is today is talking more so about how they compromise on the deen and the religion. And overall, the overarching subject matter and theme here is of corruption, fasad. What was spoken about initially was the external corruption. That when someone becomes corrupted, their soul has been corrupted, then what does that look like on the outside? And it talked about it, that they don't care about, we talked about fawahish, they engage in all kinds of lewd behavior and sinful conduct. They engage in consuming anything and everything, whatever they feel like. Now Allah is talking about what is the internal state of corruption. What does that look like internally? And so Allah here talks about, well, the first thing that happens internally is that when a person becomes corrupted, they allow their heart and their soul to become corrupt. And then they come to the scripture and they find that the Quran, the scripture, and Allah is even talking about the people of the book, the people of the past. So the Torah, the Injil, what was revealed to them, what the prophets taught them, what Allah had revealed to them. And they find that in contradiction, they find that in conflict with what they want to do. Then what they would rather do is conceal it, hide it, cover it up. And so that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off here by talking about, is that they completely conceal it. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. They trade in the scripture, in the religion, they trade it for some very meager, very measly gains of the dunya, of the world. That they sell it for a small price. And what's really interesting here is that, and we're going to talk about this, that Imam At-Tabari, he mentions from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma that the reason behind, the circumstances rather, behind the revelation of this verse. And Abdullah ibn Abbas says, نَزَلَتْ هَذِي الْآيَا فِي رُؤَسَاءِ الْيَهُودِ وَعُلَمَائِهِمْ, that this verse was revealed in regards to the leaders and the preachers of the Jewish community. That they used, what they had basically done was that they had altered and distorted the teachings of the religion to the point where they had basically set it up in order to benefit themselves. And they would accept, you know, bribes, they would take money from the people unjustly, wrongfully. They had created a corrupted religious justification to prey on their people and their communities and their congregations. And one of the things that they used to talk about, and we've spoken about this previously, is it was in their scripture that there were prophecies that there will be a prophet that will come at the end of times. And when the Prophet ﷺ was sent by Allah, then, and the Prophet ﷺ brought the teachings, and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ were about honesty, were about fearing God, they were about integrity, that they now feared these same quote-unquote leaders and scholars and preachers of the community, they now feared that if our people accept these teachings and they internalize these teachings, then basically, as the expression goes, that the gravy train's going to stop. That we won't be able to take advantage of these communities any longer. That we won't be able to justify our preying on our own people. And so now what they did was they started concealing what was in the scripture. Anything that directly led to the Prophet ﷺ. Anything that correlated to the Quran. They started concealing it and hiding it. And they started altering and changing it. And so this is that al-katmu ma anzalallah. This is that concealing of the revelation that Allah speaks about. And essentially what they're doing is they're selling out the religion. Right? And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they were willing to sell out the religion in order to gain some very meager, measly things of the dunya. Whatever money that they were making and profiting off of their own communities, they were preying on their communities. For the sake of that, they were willing to sell out Allah. They were willing to sell out the scripture and the religion from Allah. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing over here. One thing that's very interesting is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that they concealed that which Allah had revealed, they would conceal what was in the scripture. This is spoken about in Surah Al-An'am, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very interesting word to describe what they were doing. Allah says, تَجَعَلُونَهُ قَرَاطِيسَ. قَرَاطِيس, the plural of قِرْطَاس, what that basically means is, so Allah is using this visual that the scripture, imagine it like a complete scripture, like a book, like this. And then Allah is saying, تَجَعَلُونَهُ قَرَاطِيس. That refers to you turn it into separate pages. So basically, if I wanted to hide or conceal something from this, which what I would do is I would unbind it, and I would remove the pages. You know, as we say, pages were torn out of the book. I would remove those pages and bind it back together again. And that's what Allah says, is that that's what you did with the scripture. Now, visualize that. The reason why Allah uses that word is so that we can understand the gravity. Because a lot of times when we read this, when we read these ayat, and even when we say the translation, you are concealing of that, you are concealing that which God has revealed, it's in such formal language that we don't really grasp the gravity of it. Imagine somebody comes to the Quran, and there's the verse right here about the prohibition of wine, of alcohol. And that doesn't fit within that person's lifestyle of choice. And so what that person then does is they tear it out. And then here's another verse that talks about the prohibition of gambling. And again, that's something the person indulges and engages in. So what they do is they just tear it out and they put it aside. Like, imagine just watching that. I can't even say imagine doing that because it's unfathomable for a Muslim to even imagine. You just tear out a page of the Quran because you don't agree with it and toss it. Imagine seeing somebody do that. How hair-raising it is, right? It sends chills down your spine just thinking about it. frightens a person, Allah is saying that's what they did. And before we proceed any further, a very important point that the scholars of tafsir, people like Imam Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, they make, is that we have a principle when it comes to the interpretation of the Qur'an, and I bring this up almost on a weekly basis, because a lot of these verses are talking about the people of the past, the people of the past. Because that's something that the Prophet ﷺ in the Hadith of Bukhari told us, that لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ, that you will follow in the footsteps of the people that came before you, شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ, bit by bit. You'll make the same mistakes if you're not mindful, if you're not careful. And so this point needs to be reiterated time and time again, because a lot of times, as I'm talking about, the Jews did this. The Jewish community did this. The people that came before us did this. And it's like, okay, they did that. That's not us. So a very important principle of the meaning and the interpretation, the understanding, the tafsir of the Qur'an is al-ibratu bi'umumi lafz, that we pay attention to the generality of the wording that Allah uses. لا بخصوص السبب. We do not restrict the meaning of the Qur'an to the specificity of the circumstances. The specificity of the circumstances. We don't restrict it to that, but we open it and broaden it to the generality of the wording and the language that Allah is using. And now we need to reflect on ourselves. That when I come across something in the teachings of this deen, in the Qur'an, in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that does not align with the way I'm actually living my life, do I say, I don't want to talk about it? Just don't talk about it. Leave it. Forget about it. Why are you bringing that up? I don't want to talk on that subject. I don't listen to that stuff. Right? That is no different than what they were doing. I'm ignoring it. I'm neglecting it. I'm covering it and concealing it rather than dealing with it. And what's the motivation? Allah talked about the material gain, because in that circumstances it was corruption. They were using the religion as an outlet, as a means to serve themselves, prey on their communities. So that's why Allah says يَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Allah uses this parable, this analogy, this metaphor, Allah uses this metaphor of buying, selling, trading, that they're basically saying, here, take this, give me the money. They're selling out the deen for some money. But what is that money representative of? What does that money represent? What is it representative of? It represents a person doing what they enjoy, what they want. They are putting their needs and their wants. Not even needs. It's not a need. Allah has provided plenty of sustenance. They didn't need to do this. They are prioritizing their desires, their wants, their pleasure, their enjoyment. As twisted and demented as that enjoyment and pleasure is, they're prioritizing that above what Allah has said. And so in our case, in some instances, it might actually be as basic, as foolish, that we might be selling out the deen. We might be arguing, saying, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. Right? Forget about that. Right? We might be doing that for actually just money, right? Because this is how I'm making money. This is how I'm, quote unquote, I'm paying my bills. So I don't want to hear about that stuff. It might be that, which is extremely foolish. But even if it's not that, but we're still ignoring, neglecting, pushing aside, casting aside, Allah says, ripping out the pages and tossing away for the sake of just serving myself and my desires. And that is still my enjoyment, my pleasure. Whether it's in the form of money, or it's in the form of whatever other kind of twisted pleasure that it may be, it's still the same crime. And so yes, it's a lot better to at least have iman, right? To have la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, as opposed to being a disbeliever. But that crime is still there. And that crime is very, very dangerous. Because it's fundamentally corrupting the person's heart and that person's soul. So it's still fundamentally corrupting a person's soul. And if it is not checked, if it is not stopped, if it is not corrected, it's just like any other example of fasad, corruption, right? Whether it's of the body, whether it's of a structure, right? If there's water leaking somewhere in the structure and you don't correct that, it's not gonna stop automatically. Nor is that corruption, that mold or decay, that rot, that's not gonna stay limited to that one place. It's gonna keep on spreading and growing. And that's what this is. So while today someone might have La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have that today, but they're now engaging in this corruption. The water's leaking. The mold, the rot is occurring. And it won't stay limited and restricted. It will continue to spread and grow. And as it spreads and it grows, it could one day compromise even that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that's what's scary. And that's what we have to reflect on as we're going through these verses. What's very interesting is the scholars of tafsir, they present that some of these people that it's talking about, they had hoarded and amassed great wealth. Great wealth. And there's a narration in Bukhari that even talks about like some of these corrupt preachers in the communities of the past, they had hoarded like entire like barrels and barrels of gold. But Allah still calls it thamanan qalilan. Little bit of money. Little bit of money. Pennies, Allah calls it. Thamanan qalilan. Why does Allah still call it pennies? فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Because all the wealth of the entire world combined, when compared to just a second or even an iota of what's in the hereafter, is nothing. إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. The material things of this world, all the enjoyment and the pleasure of this world when compared to the year after, is barely anything. It's basically non-existent. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, what are you doing? What are you compromising? And is it worth it? And then Allah gives the verdict. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارُ. What Allah uses that word of يَأْكُلُونَ الْأَكْلِ, which means to consume. Because again, that's the idea, right? That they're feeding themselves, they're feeding their nafs, they're feeding their desires, their lust. Okay? And here, particularly in terms of the wealth that they're amassing, that they're hoarding, by distorting the religion, by taking advantage of the community, right? Betraying Allah, right? They're feeding themselves. And so Allah says what they are putting in their bellies is nothing but the hellfire. That's very interesting, right? Because nobody actually is eating fire, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, بِإِعْتِبَارِ الْمَآلِ. What is the end result of this? You putting your hands on that, you putting that in your pocket, you putting that in your mouth, you going over there, you indulging in this, you engaging in that, whatever the evil is, whatever someone's poison is, the result of that is the fire of hell. And that's a very powerful visual that Allah gives us. And Allah gives us these visuals, these visualizations, right? Why? So that we can visualize that, we can internalize that, and use that visual, use that reflection to curb that evil in the moment. So that the next time I'm putting my hands on that thing that is evil, that is prohibited, I visualize that I'm putting my hand in the fire of hell. The next time I'm putting it to my lips, then I visualize that what I'm basically now pouring down my throat is fire of hell. The next time I'm putting that in my pocket, I am basically putting myself on fire, the fire of hell. When I'm taking it home, I just basically lit my home on fire. Right? And that's the visualization that Allah provides. The second thing Allah says, وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not address them on the Day of Judgment. Now we know that even the disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rebuke them on the Day of Judgment, right? قال اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Be quiet and do not speak to me. So when it says وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, Allah will not address them on the Day of Resurrection, what that means is Allah will not address them mercifully. Graciously, kindly. They will receive no mercy, no grace, no kindness, no love, no nothing from Allah. Allah will not address them. In another place in the Quran, Allah also presents وَلَا يَنْدُرُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, Allah will not look to them. They will be deprived of that mercy of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them. What's meant by the purification? What we all hope for, which is the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not forgive them. Why? Because, again, that visual, ripping out the pages of the Quran and throwing it away, because it does not suit me. That constitutes disbelief, rejection of what Allah has said. It's very scary. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them, Allah will not rectify them, Allah will not correct them. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive their sins, will not purge them of that evil and grant them paradise. Rather, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, rather reserved for them is the most painful punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks about this, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic narration of Sahih Muslim, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ, there are three people, لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ, that there are three types of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not address them on the Day of Judgment, Allah will not purify them, nor will Allah cast His mercy towards them. And then he lists out the three people. Shaykhun Zanin, a person who even after reaching old age still engages in lewd, salacious behavior. Zina, fornication, adultery. That's not to excuse a younger person who engages in it, but it's specific, that is also haram, evil. But it's specifically identifying somebody who in old age persists with that. وَمَلِكٌ كَذَّابٌ, a king, a ruler, who lies to his people. وَعَائِلٌ مُسْتَكْبِرٌ, and a person who is desperately in need, a person who is destitute, who is struggling, mustakbirun, who still is arrogant towards Allah, who even that hunger has not humbled. And Qadi Ayyad, Imam al-Nawawi, many of the scholars who've commented on this hadith, they explain some of the wisdom here, because that's the same verbiage Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, is pulling that verbiage here from this ayah and elaborating on it. What's exactly, you know, the issue here? What's the common thread? What's the illah, as we say, between, right, these three examples that the Prophet ﷺ, it's not restricted to these three, but what's the wisdom, the reasoning, the common thread in these three examples? Well, in the first example, we're talking about somebody who engaged in one of the worst kinds of sins. We talked about it a few sessions back. Fahsha, fahisha, right? The lewdness, right? Zina, fornication, adultery, crossing that line. How disgusting, how humiliating, how detestable it is. And somebody engaged in that, right, continuously throughout their lives, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not end their life. Allah did not crush them where they stood. Allah allowed that person and gave them time. There is no greater blessing than that respite in that time. It is either a blessing or a curse. But in spite of all the time that Allah gave that person, rather than repent, as that person's become old and gray and weak and frail, rather than fear Allah, look in the mirror recognize that he is withering away in front of his own eyes, instead of taking that moment to repent, and as his shahwa and his desires have weakened, that maybe there will be a lot, there will be some pause, some break there, and that person will have a moment of reflection, a moment of introspection, a moment of tawbah and repentance, he persists. That kind of recklessness, that kind of bullishness, stubbornness, that's why that person does not get an ounce of the mercy of Allah. Allah will not speak to him. Allah will not look at him. Allah will not address him. Just completely cast off, cast out from the mercy of Allah. May Allah protect us all. Number two is Malikun Kadhabun. A ruler, a king, who lies habitually, lies to everybody, to the people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this person actual power. If somebody doesn't have to lie, he doesn't have to lie. And Allah gave that person all this opportunity to be able to do such profound good. But that person takes every single opportunity, all the resources, all the power, all the ability that Allah gave that person, and channels it towards more and more and more and more evil. So again, that person is completely cast out. And the third example, which I already kind of alluded to a little bit, is عائلٌ مستكبرٌ. عائل, right? This person is in desperate need. His back is broken, hunched over. He's keeling over, hungry, deprived, cold. Right? He's crumbling under all this pressure. That's a very sad state. But if there's one good thing that might come from it is, it will humble him. Because that person in that state becomes so humbled that that person is willing to put their hand out like this in front of another creation, in front of another human being. If nothing else, that person has been humbled. That maybe in this state, that person will say, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Miskeen. Maybe now, you'll at least be humble. But in that state, to remain defiant and arrogant against God. What God? Who God? I don't care. Then that is truly a deprived state. And once again, that's why that person is completely shunned. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That for those people is the ultimate doom and destruction and the ultimate punishment. And as I always mention at the end of, you know, these ayat and these lessons, because I understand that just if we're reading through the whole passage, which apparently I'm not capable of doing in a reasonable amount of time. But when we just end on an ayah like this, it's very heavy, right? And it can be very, it can just be very heavy on a person's soul. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always provides hope within the Qur'an. If we read further, far enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His forgiveness. Allah talks about His mercy. So I mention it here. And the Mufassirun, Imam Razi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions it as well. That the Qur'an also gives us ibrah and lesson. Because when the Qur'an mentions one outcome for one kind of behavior, then what we are naturally supposed to read into that is that the opposite outcome is for the opposite behavior. خِلَافًا لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That the circumstances, the condition of the people of paradise is completely juxtaposed and the opposite of this. That as we talked about, the person who grows old finds himself withering, slowly dying, but in that state is able to sit and reflect and understand I've made terrible mistakes. Allah is giving me an opportunity right now. I'm watching myself die. And so let me repent. This is still an opportunity. And that person repents. The person whom Allah has given a lot of power, a lot of resources, a lot of might to, sees the opportunity within it. I can do some good. I can bring some good to the world. That the person who is dealing with a very difficult situation, financially, physically, health-wise, familially, whatever the situation may be, and that situation that is breaking that person's back, that humbles the person to the point where the person says, I got nobody but Allah now. And the person puts their hands out in front of Allah and says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Oh Allah, please, 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 Ya Rabbi. That if somebody can do that, somebody who comes across the next page, we were talking about تَجْعَلُونَهُ قَرَاطِيسَ, that somebody who comes across a page in the Qur'an and it says, what you're doing is wrong. And the person stops. And rather than tear out the page, crumble it up and throw it away, the person stops right there and holds it and looks at it and sits with it. Says, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? My Rabb is telling me not to. It's not good for me. And they have that moment. There's somebody who can do that. Somebody who the next time the dunya gives them an opportunity to get a few pennies but sell out their deen and they say it's not worth it. I'll add a zero, still not worth it. I'll add three zeros, it's not worth it. I will not take it. There's somebody who can do that. Then what is that person doing? What was the opposite? One side Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ, that they're putting the fire of hell in their bellies. What is the opposite of that? That they are basically punching their ticket to Jannah. That on the day of judgment, when they're given their entry ticket to Jannah, it'll say, remember that moment when you did not sell out your deen, no matter how many zeros they put at the end of the number. Remember that moment where you stopped at the ayah and you said, I'm wrong and this is right. That's the starting point. I'm wrong, this is right. Now how do I get there? That they are punching their ticket to Jannah. What was the second thing Allah said? وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. These people Allah will not address them. Those people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will directly address them. يَا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. You weren't perfect, my son. Oh, my beloved servant. You weren't perfect. You made mistakes. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. But don't worry, my mercy is here for you today. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy is greater than anything you could have ever done. And Allah will forgive them and grant them His mercy. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. These people were not forgiven. Those people, the Prophet ﷺ, in a beautiful narration, he says that إِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ آخِرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ خُرُوجًا وَآخِرَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ دُخُولًا. He said, I can tell you about the last person who will exit hell and enter paradise. He said, it will be a person who will have so many sins, evil in their book of deeds. And Allah will tell the angels before the person is brought, that when he's brought, and then we do the reckoning, do not bring his major sins, only present صِغَارَ ذُنُوبِهِ. Only present his minor sins first. Now this person has an idea of how guilty he's been in the fire of hell. لَا بِثِينَ فِي أَحْقَابَ. Only Allah knows how long he's been in there. He's been humbled now. So Allah will summon this person, tell the angels, bring his deeds, they'll bring the minor sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question that person and say, يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَعَلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. On such and such day, you did such and such sin, minor sin. Correct? You'll say, na'am, yes, I did that. وَيَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَعَلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And on such and such day, you did such and such. You'll say, yes, Ya Rab, yes, I did that. You'll accept it. The Prophet ﷺ says, then he'll start accepting it like very like hastily. He'll say, yes, 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 I did all that. Because what he's thinking is, right now they're only presenting the minor sins. I'm just going to go ahead and take the L here, so they don't get to the major sins. Right? And maybe if I just start confessing more rapidly, yeah, I did all of it. You know, if somebody's listing out your mistakes, say, yeah, I did all of that. Because I don't want to hear about it, right? Don't mention it. I don't want everyone else to hear about it. So that person will say, I don't want them to get to the major sins. So they just say, yeah, I did it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, sensing that the person is kind of like trying to, end this questioning, this line of questioning, then Allah will say, okay, for every sin that you just accepted here, all of the sins that you've accepted here will be converted over to good deeds. Now the person's thinking, oh no, there's a lot left. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, there's major sins, right? And then the Prophet ﷺ, when he talked about this, he started laughing. He said, look at the human being, how ajeeb, how interesting. And then that person will start listing out his own major sins. I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter that person to paradise. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ Those people, يُبَدِّلُونَ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ Allah will convert all of their sins into good deeds. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ These people here are being punished. The people who reflect on it, who read it, who accept it, who reflect on it, who admit their fault, those people, reserved for them, are the gardens of paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to read the Qur'an, to understand the Qur'an, to accept what the Qur'an says, to reflect on ourselves in light of the Qur'an, to accept our faults, to accept our flaws, and to work on them, to reach closer to the example and the standard that the Qur'an gives us. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Next week, on Tuesday, we won't be having the tafsir session. Inshallah, we're going for Umrah with the Qalam group, inshallah, the Seerah Umrah. So I won't be here next week, so we won't be having the tafsir session, but we'll resume the Tuesday after, inshallah, bidnillah. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.